the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McKay on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
That's right, back from vacation, ready to rock and roll to the playoffs. Chase McCabe here with you. It is Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. We're on Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe, you can review, you can rate, SoundCloud. You can find us everywhere. Hope you had a great couple of weeks. Took last week off. Had a best of edition that came out on the radio. I know a couple of you tweeted at me asking, hey, where's the new episode? So I appreciate that. Thank you for the support. At Chase on Game on Twitter. Always love talking racing with you guys and gals out there. But we are back this week. Don't worry. We got a big show. Eric Jones is the guest this week. How about that? Eric Jones getting his first win a couple weeks ago at the Daytona International Speedway. So we'll chat with him. Really looking forward to that. But look, I missed a week, so I got a lot to get into. I got some things I got to talk about, and it starts with the big three. I feel like since I started this thing, I've been talking about Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, or Martin Truex Jr., and once again, we are talking about Kevin Harvick winning at New Hampshire, and then the following week, he had the best car at Pocono, and Kyle Busch comes away with the win. So each of them, with six wins on the season, tremendous what these guys are doing right now. And then, of course, Martin Truex Jr. is right there, too. So you look at how things shake out right now with the standings. Kyle Busch leads Kevin Harvick. They each have six wins, as I said. And then Truex in third with four wins. And then Clint Bowyer is the only guy with two. And then you have a couple of one-race winners that, you know, are looking for more. But right now, it's three guys. And really, the past few weeks, it's been two guys. And so we've had at New Hampshire, which we're going to get into this. I'm going to get into this whole little racing each other clean or racing each other hard thing, because I feel like sometimes we have some differing opinions by one guy. So we'll jump into that here in a second with Kyle Busch, because I feel like sometimes when he loses, he's not so happy about it. But so I go back to New Hampshire. Kevin Harvick gets that win. And at the end of that race, he knew he had to make a move on Kyle Busch to get that win. And, you know, I'll let him do the talking, but I think you go back to Chicagoland, where Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson raced each other hard. Kyle basically said that once you kind of make a move and you touch, everything is fair game. That's kind of how he looks at it. So I think that he buys that. He believes that. But I also think he gets frustrated when he's not the one on the winning end. But here's Kevin Harvick after that race and how he was racing Kyle Busch a little bit hard.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely, you know, when your goal is to not wreck him, your goal is to move him out of the groove and get away from them far enough, because you know they're going to be mad. And, you know, today that was the situation, and I knew his car was going to get wide, and he was going to be tough to pass. Kyle Busch is one of the toughest to pass when he has control of the race, and you know, for me, that was the moment that I needed to make it happen, and we were able to execute it well and drive away, and he finished second, right? Yeah, so.
And that was all about timing. That was Kevin Harvick after his win at New Hampshire. And so racing Kyle Busch hard, kind of getting him out of the way, knowing when to make the move. And I think that's where we are right now. And that's old school racing. I said after Chicago that I loved it, that I had no problem with what Kyle Busch did. And I still don't. I have no problem with that type of racing. I have no problem with that type of move, as long as everybody understands that that's how it's going to be. If I race you that way, if I race you clean, race me clean. If I bump into you and we have donuts on the side of our cars, I expect the same thing out of you. I'd be a little disappointed if you didn't do that. And I kind of think that's kind of how Kevin Harvick looked at it. This was him talking about the move and timing the move. Bob Pockrass, a great journalist, also asked a follow-up question in this and how he made the move on Kyle Busch.
I figured that's exactly what he was thinking, you know, and I knew I needed to take the opportunity as early as I could get it because I knew that he was thinking late, and we needed to do it when he wasn't expecting it, because the more opportunities to get in his wheelhouse, in his thought process, the less chance that you have. He's that good. And, you know, if you wait till two or three to go, you know, the entries are going to get shallower. He's going to start grinding on the brakes a little bit harder. He's going to put himself in a position to not get hit, and he's going to go on defense and start to really get aggressive too. So it's, you know, I wanted to do it earlier just to, you know, to try to catch him off guard.
And do you consider that clean if he finishes second?
I mean, you know, you got to do, these races are hard to win. And when you're in position, it's one of those things that, you have to do what you have to do for your team. And, you know, you want to do everything that you can to not spin them out and not wreck them and just make it, a you know, as clean as possible and try to accomplish the bump and run. And, you know, today we're able to accomplish it well and win the race.
And that's Kevin Harvick after his win at New Hampshire. Bob Pockrass with the follow-up question there. And basically what he was alluding to is he knew Kyle Busch was going to do the same thing to him. He knew that the way that they have raced each other over the years, they are both very, very tough guys to race against. They are not afraid to beat and bang on one another. They have had this rivalry throughout, and they're chasing a championship. So Kevin Harvick wanted to time that where he could catch Kyle off guard. I think that's why Kyle was a little frustrated, because he knew that he got beat. He knew that Kevin Harvick beat him in his own game. And I think there's a respect factor there. I don't think it was they're going to fight, there's going to be payback or anything like that. I just think that Kyle knew that he got outsmarted, and it was a great move by Kevin Harvick. He executed the bump and run perfectly, and that's how he got the win. So I think that that's kind of what we're looking for. I think that that's what we're looking for now in today's NASCAR, and I think it's a lot of fun to see these two race against each other, to see these two have two of the best cars. Truex, of course, is very much in this thing. And that's just kind of how it worked out with the bump and run there. And Kevin Harvick gets that win at New Hampshire. Fast forward to Pocono. We'll stay on Kevin Harvick for a second. He had the best car. He had the best car all day. Probably should have won the race. But he had some things that happened and got in his way. Here's Harvick with Dave Burns from NBC after the race.
Well, just a really fast mobile one Ford. You know, I think as you look at the day, we kept having to go to the back and made a good race out of it. You know, it's hard to swallow having a car like that and not winning, but that's usually how it goes when you have a day where your car runs that fast. You just got to thank everybody, Stuart Haas Racing, Roush Yates Engines, Jimmy Johns, Ford, Mobile One, Busch, Outback, Hunt Brothers, Morton, Textron, Liftmaster, everybody who makes this car go around. So just ran out of laps.
You knew you were the car to beat. You described it that way. What could you have done differently?
Well, not got hit on pit road, not started in the back. You watch the race. You tell me.
Kevin Harvick, after finishing fourth at Pocono, having the best car of the day with Dave Burns from NBC. And I love it. I love that. You know, that's typical Kevin Harvick there at the end. You watch the race. You tell me. That might have to be a drop on this show.
You watch the race. You tell me.
Yeah, I like that. That's pretty good stuff by Kevin Harvick. But the fact of the matter is there were some self-imposed things that took him out of it and gave Kyle Busch a chance to win his sixth race of the year, and he did that. So he, of course, had his teammate behind him, Daniel Suarez, career best finish for him. Alex Bowman with a top three finish. So you have some of these young guys that kind of got up in there, and they were mucking it up a little bit. They were trying to challenge for the win. And Daniel Suarez, after the race, talked about his finish.
Well, I thought I was a little better than Kyle and the 18 guys with new tires for 5-7 laps or so. But in the longer run, he was better than me. He was just turning better for whatever reason. I was getting too tight, and I was trying to to adjust my tools as much as I can to free the car up a little bit, but it wasn't helping, you know, the rotation where I needed. And every restart, I felt like I was decent, but not great. I felt like if I was able to complete the pass by corner one, I was going to be able to hold him off. But I just never had the help from behind.
And I do think Suarez probably had a better car than Kyle Busch. It was just some experience got in the way of him getting his first win. Kyle actually gave a lot of praise to Daniel Suarez in the victory lane interview. But, you know, I think that makes it interesting that you have these guys like this past week, Alex Bowman, Daniel Suarez, Chase Elliott a few weeks ago at New Hampshire. They're there. They're knocking on the door. They are right there. When I talk to Eric Jones here in a little bit, you'll kind of hear me ask about that because he's gotten there. He got to victory lane. But right now, there's just so much dominance coming out of the 18, the 4, and the 78. And it's been that way since the beginning of the season. And I don't think anyone really has an explanation for it, including Kyle Busch.
Yeah, I can't pinpoint it. Honestly, you know, that normally in our team meetings, you know, one of us or some all of us are kind of vocal when we have our meetings here at the racetrack on a given weekend after practices. And yesterday's Daniel was kind of quiet. And so we were all kind of like, what's he doing? You know, like he's didn't want to show his hand. And we knew he. So then we were like, hey, you're kind of quiet. You know, does that mean you're pretty good? And he sat on the pole. So it's kind of like, oh, all right, well, 19 feels good about what he's got going on. So, you know, playing a little possum, if you will. So that was cool to see that he was good, though. So he knew that he was getting the most out of what he had here this weekend. And I feel like we can a lot of times get the most out of our cars or out-excel what we feel like our cars are capable of, which is really, really good when you can do that. You're not going to be able to do it all the time. There's certainly competitors and the competition like Hendrick or 42 or you know, some of the Penske guys and whoever that are going to get better over time, and it's going to be harder and harder to outperform them on a given day because they're going to get closer to us.
I asked people on Twitter after the race, after Kyle Busch won at Pocono, that since he and Harvick have 6 wins, Truex has 4, do you like having a big three, or are you ready to see somebody else jumping up in there? And I got the response that I kind of thought I was going to get, and that is we're kind of tired of seeing the dominance. It's like the New England Patriots. We're tired of seeing the same guys win every week. We want to see somebody else get there. How close are we to that? How close are we to an Eric Jones getting another win? Kyle Larson getting his first win of the year? Chase Elliott getting a first career win? Daniel Suarez getting a first career win? Bowman, the Hendrick guys getting back there? I feel like before we get to the playoffs, things are going to change a little bit. I don't think those three are going to get dethroned. I think those three are going to end up in the final four at Homestead. But I do feel like we're knocking on the door of something different. I'm probably wrong. I usually am. But I do think we're getting close. So I'm not going to ask the question about dominance. I know how you all feel about it. I think it's been interesting that we kind of started with Harvick, and then Kyle got in there, and then Truex got in there as we got into the summer months. And we've asked that question of, okay, is there going to be a fourth guy, or are we going to have a bunch of single race winners, and that's how the playoffs are going to shake out? You're going to have some guys get in on points. I think all of the above will be a factor. But I do like that we have this little bit of a rivalry between Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch, because that's always existed, but I think we're seeing it even more now that they're the two most dominant drivers in the sport. So I think it's exciting from that aspect, but we'll see if somebody else can jump in there. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game, at Chase on Game on Twitter. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, TheGameNashville.com, of course, is where everything is. Just head on over there. Great stuff in our pod center and all of our interviews from our shows and full shows as well. When we come back, Bubba Wallace got some good news I will tell you what that means, plus some news and notes around NASCAR. Eric Jones coming up a little later. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yo, Nashville. Buck Rising, Tennessee Titans insider, and the host of your favorite new podcast, Tackling Music City, here. Join us as we talk about all things two-tone blue with current and former players, football experts, and analysts from all walks of life every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on thegamenashville.com, in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and every weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back in. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you as always every Friday afternoon. You can find this on thegamenashville.com, Apple, iTunes, SoundCloud, pretty much everywhere, and running throughout the weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We talk NASCAR. That's what we do on this show. Last segment, I talked a little bit about a rivalry brewing. And one thing I didn't mention before I get to Bubba Wallace, I'll get to him in just a second and his good news that he got. But I did want to mention Kyle Busch in the milestone that he had with the win at Pocono. He got his 49th career Cup Series win, which ties Tony Stewart for 13th on the all-time wins list. And I think when you look at two drivers that are so similar, Kyle Busch, Tony Stewart definitely have the same type of personality, don't really care what you think type of personality, which I think is good for NASCAR. But here's Kyle Busch after that win talking about tying Tony Stewart and what that means to him.
Tony was a great teammate, great friend, and still is. So, you know, it's pretty cool to tie him, and certainly means a lot to keep kind of climbing the ladder and getting to the next bunch of guys. And eclipsing that 50 is going to be pretty special. So, there's no stop in Adam or myself or Joe or Toyota or M&M's or none of us. So we want to be able to go out there and continue on and keep this pattern going for years to come.
50 is such a milestone, you know, for any driver. And sometimes when you hit those milestones, it takes a while. Now, I don't think that's going to be the case for Kyle Busch. I think he probably gets it this year, just the way things are going right now for him. But pretty interesting that 50 wins already for Kyle Busch. I mean, he's going to go down. I know Richard Petty has 200. No one's ever going to catch that because they won't race as many races in a season like they were back in the day with Petty. But I do think, you know, when you look across the three series and all that Kyle has done and how many times he's won through the trucks and Xfinity and in the Cup Series, he's going to go down as the best. That's just by far going to be how it is. Surefire first ballot Hall of Famer, has the championship in 2015, albeit with an asterisk because he missed a lot of the season. But I think he'll probably have another one before it's all said and done as well. All right, so I said that Bubba Wallace got some good news. Now, you're probably thinking, well, it's because he wasn't hurt after his crash at Pocono. Scary situation for Bubba Wallace. Loses the brakes and goes crashing into the wall, a really hard hit. Here is the interview he did with NBC's Dave Burns right after the crash, and you'll hear the good news that he's talking about in this clip.
I'm okay. That was a huge hit. Babe, I'm fine. Mom, everybody back at home, I'm okay. Hardest one of my career. I was just telling them here, there's no feeling like being helpless in that situation, going off into turn one. And it scared the hell out of me. I didn't know if I was going to remember if I hit or not. So we're good. Bit my cheek, banged my foot off the pedal. I'm okay, though. I'll wake up tomorrow and be a little sore, but the safety has come a long way, so it's good to be able to climb out of the car. The EMTs were worried that I didn't let the window net down fast enough, and I was like, hell, that's the last thing I thought about. I'm sorry. But everything was good. They gave me an ultrasound. No twins or anything, so I'm good. We're just unfortunate ending for us. Our mile 22 Chevrolet was okay. It was decent. We were trying to get by and just salvage a decent finish and had brake failures.
Describe for us when you felt that, Bubba, and the process you went through quickly to decide what your options might be.
Yeah, the lap before, I was holding off Eric, the 10 car, going into one, and the pedal went to the floor, so I went to the bottom just to try to – your natural instincts is just to try to use up all the track when that happens. So went to the floor, pump it up, get through the tunnel and through three here, and then down into one, I started pumping it right past start-finish line, and it blew. And I should have hooked a right into the fence and stayed up there to use that to slow me down, but – I'm used to turning left there, Dave. So I turned left, and there she went through the grass. So unfortunate, but definitely the hardest one. I'm okay. I'll be sore. Yeah, I'll be limping, but I'll be fine.
So some humor there. I mean, look, he goes through such a hellish crash and walks away, showed you how far NASCAR has come, which has just been tremendous, that the work that they have done since, you know, 2000 and losing Kenny Irwin and Adam Petty and of course, Dale Earnhardt in 2001. Just the strides they have made for safety, the safer barriers, the cars, everything that the tracks have put into it. Because I think there's probably a time where if that happens to Bubba Wallace, I don't know if he's joking about not having twins after that wreck. So that just kudos to NASCAR and everybody involved for that type of safety. But I love his sense of humor. I love that he's having fun in the Cup Series. It was announced this week, or maybe when I was on vacation, that he is going to return to the 43 car, Richard Petty. He's done a good job with it. He's earned it. You know, they of course don't have the type of resources and the money that some of these other big teams have. They just joined an alliance with Richard Childress Racing. This year is the first time with that. They switched to the Chevy. So, you know, and the Chevy teams have struggled as a whole. But I think for the most part, you got to like what Bubba Wallace has been able to do. And I think he probably will find victory lane at some point in his career, maybe in the near future. But he's a guy that a lot of people, you know, just kind of flock to because he's got that personality. I mean, you heard there in the clip, he just had this crash and he said, they did an ultrasound, I'm all good, no twins. I mean, that's like what you don't expect that after a crash like that. And I tie his humor and I tie the safety all together. That's just, you know, that's what we're looking for. And for NASCAR to have put all that together and make things safer, you know, I just think is really, really awesome for the sport because we don't want to have to get on here and talk about tragedy at all. He followed up with the media this week to kind of update his condition as they get ready to race at Watkins Glen. Here's Bubba on how he's feeling.
The inside of my left foot, I banged it off the gas pedal, and I had a knot the size of a nickel. And I've had that before when I've wrecked. I forgot where it was. A couple times I've had it, and it would be fine the next day. And it was lingering for about a day and a half after that. I wore shoes for the first time yesterday. I was just being lazy and wearing flip-flops and put on shoes. And I was like, oh, damn, that still hurts a little bit. But I'm all good now. No pain. Actually, I was just trying to touch it to see. So we're all good. Healed up. Back pretty good.
And how amazing is that a week later he's feeling better? Now, I'm sure he's still a little sore, but the fact that he's able to race the car this weekend at Watkins Glen, which is not easy. I mean, he's going to be shifting and turning right and turning left. And this is not an easy track to run at and just shows you where they've come with the safety in these cars. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Chase McCabe here with you at Chase on Game on Twitter. Some news and notes out of the NASCAR world this week. Alex Bowman and Nationwide re-upping with Hendrick Motorsports to 2020. Cool that he got an extension after a career best finish of third last week at Pocono. I have to say that over the last few weeks, you know, we had him on a few weeks ago. Things were starting to click. He had some really good finishes at that point when he came on the show, and things have just been going well, getting a little bit better each week. How close are they to finding victory lane? I don't know. It's really tough to tell with the Chevys, with Hendrick Motorsports, but I feel like as an organization and as a race team, the 88 bunch, they are getting better and better each week. Alex Bowman is starting to show that he belongs. And that was always a question when he was announced, like to replace Dale Earnhardt Jr. Like, really, is this the guy? And I think that he is showing that he is the guy. He's showing that he's learning. He's listening to people. You wonder just how involved Dale Jr., Jeff Gordon, those guys still are with the team. I think very much involved. You know, I've heard people say that. And so I think when you have the resources, and not to mention Jimmy Johnson, of guys you can talk to and get advice from, that is so beneficial for a young driver like Alex Bowman. And let's not forget, he has not raced full time in any type of series in several years. So it was going to take some time for him to kind of get used to the grind of the NASCAR Cup Series schedule, of really the NASCAR schedule. So you know, it's more than just winning and performing well. It's just kind of getting used to that routine and going to the track and giving that type of feedback. I mean, these cars, the simulators are awesome, and that's what he was doing, but these cars are completely different. So the fact that things are starting to get better, when you look at Alex Bowman and his performance over the last few weeks, I think that that's only going to mean good things for Hendrick Motorsports and that 88 car. So when you look at Alex Bowman, when we had him on just a few weeks ago, I just kind of go back and look at his results. A ninth at Sonoma, so that's good going into Watkins Glen. Then a 10th at Chicago, 10th at Daytona, 39th at Kentucky, 11th at Loudon, and then Pocono last week, a career best third place finish. Things are getting much more consistent. He seems like he belongs. It doesn't seem like it's too big for him. And look, anytime you have that with a young driver, I think that's good. We talked about the big three earlier and who can challenge. Do I think Alex Bowman is going to get in there and win five races and challenge for a championship? No. But I don't think Jimmy Johnson's going to do that either with Hendrick Motorsports right now. So I just think having that type of competition with these young drivers, like the one you're going to hear from here in just a few minutes, that is only good for the sport. Chase McCabe here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming up next, I talk to the driver, the number 20, Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota, Eric Jones. He joins the show. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Stay up to date on the latest news in sports. Take us wherever you may go with the Game Nashville app.
Tap that app.
Just search ESPN The Game Nashville on Google Play or iTunes and download the Game Nashville app now.
Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you as always, and pleased to be joined by one of the up-and-coming drivers. And really, he's not up-and-coming. He's here. He's got his first win just a few weeks ago at Daytona. Eric Jones, the driver of the number 20 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota. Eric, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. First of all, I know it's been an exciting few weeks for you. You finally get that first cup win at Daytona. Congratulations on that. I know that had to be, have been a lot of fun for you, and it was an exciting race.
Yeah, it was. It was a fun race. It actually, the way it kind of went, wasn't one that I thought we were going to have a shot to win, but you know, as it kind of worked out, the day went on, it felt like we were kind of moving into the position we wanted to be in at the end of the race, and it worked out. So definitely, you know, pretty awesome to get that first win and get it knocked out of the way. And, you know, to do it at Daytona was pretty special as well. I mean, that's a pretty big stage to win a race on, you know, in NASCAR, and to get that first one knocked out there was pretty special.
And I'm sure it, you know, felt nice to walk into the shop Monday, and it wasn't everybody celebrating Kyle Busch because he's won just about everything this year. You were able to get one.
Yeah, that was nice. You know, it's always nice to come back to the shop as the race winner from the previous weekend. You know, your team and everybody at the shop was pretty pumped up, and yeah, obviously Kyle's been pretty dominant. He's won all the other races this year for JGR, so it feels good to you know, be the guy that's got at least one other one along the way, and hopefully a few more here as the year goes on.
Well, and they, you know, I know talking about you on my show and listening to other shows and reading things, everybody's kind of had the mindset of the win's coming. When it happens, there will be more. And now it kind of, you know, seems like that it has sparked you guys. You had another good run at Pocono this past weekend, going into Watkins Glen this weekend. Do you feel like that now that monkey is off your back, so to speak, that you feel like you can go out and win several more?
Yeah, I do. I think it's loosened up our strategy a little bit to where we can, you know, be a little bit more aggressive, at least at this point before the playoffs start. And we've got some really good tracks coming up. You know, we've ran really well. Actually, we've ran really well ever since Daytona. We've only had really one bad race in there at New Hampshire, and everything else has been, you know, top 10 and top 5. So that's been pretty rewarding. And even after, you know, Watkins Glen here, going to Michigan and Bristol, coming up after that, and you know, I think those are both tracks where we've got a really good shot to run really, really well and contend for wins. So I'm excited about that, and I think, you know, as a group, as a 20 group at least, we know that we've got chances to win those races. And at this point, you know, it's all about getting some more wins before the playoffs begin. So it's a pretty cool time. You know, the momentum's high and confidence is high, and that makes it pretty fun to go to the racetrack.
Talking with Eric Jones, the driver of the number 20 Joe Gibbs Toyota. He'll be racing this weekend at Watkins Glen International, 1:30 Central Time on NBC. And,
You, last year you were a rookie in the Cup Series, one rookie of the year, but you were at Furniture Row Racing, so you got to kind of experience the Cup Series for the first time, but you were alongside the eventual champion in Martin Truex Jr. What were you able to take away from that one season at Furniture Row and a championship team?
Well, really a lot. I mean, I learned a ton my first year in the Cup Series, and you know, I wish I could go back and do it again, because we had some really great race cars, and I think at times maybe our cars were a little bit faster last year, and we had some pretty dominant stuff that, knowing what I know now, I believe we probably could have went back and won a few races. But, you know, getting that year of experience under your belt was always really important in the Cup level. You know, you have to learn how to race with these guys and figure out what you need to do to win these races, and it's not a quick process. So, you know, Furniture Row gave me a home to kind of learn that and figure that stuff out. And I feel like this year we've been, you know, just better off going back to a lot of these tracks for the second and third time, and having a little bit more experience to lean back on for myself has been, you know, definitely a big benefit.
And you've raced at a lot of these tracks, you know, coming up through the trucks and in Xfinity. But I know Watkins Glen is kind of a different animal, just because you guys don't race on road courses a lot. Are you comfortable on the road course now at this point in your career, or is it still kind of a learning process for you?
Well, you know, I feel like I'm getting there. It's still a little bit of a learning process. I feel like Sonoma was a great race course. You know, just a big improvement. We went from running, I don't even know where we finished there last year, but somewhere in the mid-20s, and this year we went back and ran seventh. So it was, you know, a big step up, but it's also been a lot of work put into it. I feel like I've worked pretty hard on my road course stuff over the last year, from not only going to, you know, the simulator that Toyota has, but also going to some schools with some instructors at these tracks and trying to learn more about the tracks and asking other drivers and that whole thing. So it's taken a lot of work, but I feel like the road courses are getting there. And Watkins Glen is definitely a place where I, even last year, felt pretty comfortable at. So I think it will hopefully be just a little bit better this year.
Have you, were you one of the guys that tested at the Roval?
I was, yeah. I was there probably 3 weeks ago now.
What are we in for with that? Because I'm very intrigued by what they're trying to do there at Charlotte Motor Speedway. And I know a lot of the drivers have, you know, had some mixed emotions about it. I'm glad they're giving you guys time to test it. But what do you expect when we get there later this year?
Well, it's going to be really challenging. You know, as a driver, that track is, it's just very narrow, and it's very one groove, and it's very technical, but it's also very fast. And there's a lot of places to make mistakes and get yourself in trouble and get in a wreck very quickly. And you know, we managed to spin out once in the test, and it's just really easy. It's low grip, and you know, it's going to be a challenge. Passing is going to be very difficult, and restarts are going to be pretty hectic with as tight as it's going to be getting in some of the corners side by side. So we'll see what happens, but I feel like we're probably going to see a little bit of wrecking, and hopefully everybody gets out of there clean. It's going to be interesting being a playoff race to see how guys kind of approach it, and if they're aggressive or a little bit more to the conservative side, just going to try to get through it. So at the end of the day, though, somebody's going to have to win the race, and you know, hopefully can at least be us contending for it.
Talking with Eric Jones, driver of the number 20 Joe Gibbs Toyota, again racing at Watkins Glen this weekend. So we talked about earlier, you got that first win, which means that you're in the playoffs coming up, and they'll start at Las Vegas coming up in September. And does that take a lot of pressure off of you, though, knowing that you have that playoff spot, and you can, you kind of mentioned it earlier too, but you can kind of go out and go for wins and not necessarily race for points?
Yeah, it does make it nice. I mean, we were in an okay spot before the win to point our way in. But, you know, whenever you're locked in and you don't have to worry about it at all, it definitely changes your mindset some. It makes it way more laid back. You know, these last few weeks, we've really been able to try stuff and experiment and try to go out and be aggressive with our strategies and setups and see if we can find anything before the playoffs start. So it's a big relief as a driver and as a team to not have to worry about it anymore. And you know, we're going to take advantage of these next four or five races we got before the playoffs begin. Hopefully get a win, and hopefully learn a little bit more about our race cars and get them a little bit quicker.
Before I let you go, as you kind of look at the state of NASCAR, and you have a lot of the drivers like Dell Jr. retired, and you had Tony Stewart a few years ago, Kevin Harvick in his 40s, Kyle Busch kind of in the middle of his career now. Do you ever feel pressure as a young driver of kind of being the next generation that you have to help take this sport to the next level?
I think it's a natural progression. You know, as a young guy, you want to be, I think more so as a young guy, you want to be competitive and you want to win races against the established veterans. You know, you want to be able to prove yourself and show that you can beat them now and not, you know, when they're gone. So just getting up there and running with them and trying to learn and figure that out. But as far as carrying NASCAR into the next, you know, the next generation of fans, I think that's something that can't be forced. You know, it has to be kind of natural, and they have to choose to like you. I mean, at the end of the day, we're kind of who we are as a driver and as a person, and you know, they can figure out on their own whether they're fans or not. But you know, we have young guys, I think, have all done a pretty good job of trying to promote the sport, put ourselves out there for opportunities to try to highlight NASCAR and get people interested. So we're all doing our part, I feel like, and hopefully we can keep down that road and keep getting more and more people interested.
I know a lot of your fans were sad to see the mullet go, so hopefully it comes back.
Yeah, it was a sad day, but you know, my hair grows quick, so it's coming back in.
Awesome. Eric, best of luck this weekend at Watkins Glen and the rest of the way. Really enjoyed the chat.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, man.
That is Eric Jones, the driver of the number 20 Joe Gibbs Toyota. Appreciate him taking the time to come on Chasing Checkers, and thanks to NASCAR for setting that up. But I just think I've heard interviews with him when he first came in and when he was in the trucks in the Xfinity Series, and even, you know, early on in the Cup Series last year, and you could just hear the maturity. I mean, you can just tell how much he has grown, how much he has learned racing with guys, having teammates like a Martin Truex Jr., who was his teammate last year at Furniture Row. Now they kind of have a technical alliance, Furniture Row does, with Joe Gibbs, but he's got Denny Hamlin, he's got Kyle Busch that he can talk to. And, you know, for him and Daniel Suarez, the two young guys in that organization, Christopher Bell, of course, we know about him in the Xfinity Series and what he's been able to do this year. I just think you can hear it, that he's becoming a leader in that organization. And now that he has a skin on the wall, now that he has that first win in the Cup Series, I feel like this guy gets it. And I think that the sky is the limit for Eric Jones. So we will see what happens with him this weekend, as well as other drivers. We'll talk about that when we come back here on Chasing Checkers. We will look ahead. Watkins Glen, they're going to turn right, they're going to turn left. Can there be a spoiler, or is it going to be one of the big three coming through with the win at Watkins Glen? We'll break that down next. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game and thegamenashville.com.
What's up, Smashville? This is Ryan Porth here to tell you Preds Insiders will continue this summer on demand as we keep you up to date with all things Preds. Catch the newest edition of the Preds Insiders podcast every Wednesday at thegamenashville.com and throughout the weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back in Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I am Chase McCabe. We do this every Friday afternoon and, of course, all weekend on The Game Nashville. I'm sorry, on ESPN 102.5 The Game. But you can find us on thegamenashville.com. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud. We're pretty much everywhere. Subscribe, rate it, review it. Tell me you love it. I would appreciate that very much. So we're going to turn left this weekend. We're going to turn right. Watkins Glen International, and you always look at those road racing ringers. You remember a few weeks ago when they were at Sonoma, we kind of talked about the road racing ringers. So I have this right here in front of me, the top 16 in points for the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Kyle Busch leads the way. Now, how this is kind of how this is ranked is all these drivers and then what they have done at Watkins Glen. So at the top of the list, you have Kyle Busch, 13 career races at Watkins Glen. He sat on the pole twice. He has won twice. He's got five top fives, 11 top tens in his career. A 110.7 driver rating, average finish 9.8. Kyle Busch, the class of the field at Watkins Glen, and will be very tough to beat. Now, behind him, Kevin Harvick. 17 races. He's got one win, three top fives, eight top tens. So he is not quite as good as Kyle Busch, but he's right there with him. Martin Truex Jr. coming through with 12 career races, a win, which was last year, four top fives, seven top tens for him, average finish 12.1. So those are the big three and how they fare at Watkins Glen.
Now, Kyle Busch pops out at you because he's got two wins. He's got more top fives, more top tens. He seems to get around this place pretty well. But is there someone that they need to watch out for this weekend? I'm going to say yes. He is a guy that has won there before, and his name is AJ Allmendinger. In his career at Watkins Glen, one win, three top fives, six top tens, has sat on the pole, average finish of 9.33, which is second best to only Kyle Busch. He missed a shift at Sonoma. That took him out of it. He's still beating himself up about that. But I think that AJ will be a factor this weekend at Sonoma, or at Watkins Glen, and he gave his thoughts on racing at the Glen.
No, I mean, it's in the end, I can just do my best. And you know, I've come here and put a lot of pressure myself, and you know, we all know what the ultimate goal is when we show up here. You know, I think over the past couple of years, it's got a little bit more difficult. I think the field spread out more. You know, we've seen it this year with the three fastest guys are usually the three fastest guys every weekend, and it doesn't matter what track we go to. Unfortunately, they're good everywhere. So, you know, I think there's more of a difference I can make here as a driver, but, I don't see why it's not going to be those three again that are going to be the fastest cars. And as a whole, as a series, we got to catch up to them. So I just come here and do my best and try to get everything I can out of it and whatever that holds. You know, I think sometimes people look at it as if we don't win, it's a full disappointment of the weekend. But, you know, we come here and we run top five all weekend and you get a top five finish. Man, that's still tough to do, and that's still a good day. So, you know, if there's a chance to win, we'll take the chance. And if not, we'll just get the best that we can. And for me, just get everything I can out of the weekend. And if I do that, then I can be satisfied with it.
I don't believe that for a second. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think if he finishes second, he's going to be ticked off because he's 23rd in the standings right now. He's really got nothing to lose. I mean, if he wants a playoff spot, he's going to have to win. And when you look at the top, the big three, I know they have a little bit of reckless abandon, but they're still racing each other. They're trying to get those playoff points. They want to have proper seating. Anyone beyond that, I think they're going to be able to gamble a little bit and try and go for a win. AJ Allmendinger is one of the best. I just showed you the stats. He is one of the best road racers on this circuit. So I think he is definitely going to be a factor at Watkins Glen because he just looks at it completely different than some of these other guys. You listen to him talk about it. I mean, it's just like he has this love affair with road racing and just seems to know it so well. Now, so does Kyle Busch. I think Kevin Harvick's pretty good in his own right, and of course Truex as well, but I just think he can go in here with nothing to lose and go for the win. They're going to give him the best car that they can possibly give him because they know how good he is there. And this is one of those wild card tracks that you can always have somebody come out of left field and get the win. Here's AJ again talking about Watkins Glen being a natural road course.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the best natural road courses that we have in the U.S., I think in North America in general. So for that reason, I mean, it's just a fun racetrack. I wish we ran all of it. You know, I wish we ran the boot and everything. That would make it really exciting, and I think it'd separate the field a little bit more. But it's a beautiful place to come to in August, and more importantly, and I've said this over and over again, the crowd that we've gotten the last several years, really every time I've been here, but it really seems like it stood out the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, it's a packed house. There's not an empty seat. There's not an empty campground. And you feel that atmosphere on Sunday. You walk in and you know, you get up and you start walking around, do your sponsor stuff. I mean, there's people everywhere. And for me, I mean, it pumps me up when you see that big of a crowd show up to a racetrack. So, for so many reasons, it just makes it fun to be here.
AJ Allmendinger talking about Watkins Glen and racing there this weekend. He has a very, very good chance to win it. I know they've had weather there, and that was kind of tough for them to race around in, even though on road races, you know, with the road courses, they have the rain tires, they have the wipers, and so they can run around in the rain, which makes it
makes it very interesting. I know there's been some Xfinity races that they've run around in the rain, and it's been interesting, to say the least. But AJ talked about that a little bit. If he has an advantage, he doesn't feel like he really does, that he, because he hasn't raced a stock car in the rain too much. But I do think he has an advantage overall this weekend. I think he's going to be a guy to watch. I think the big three will be something to watch as well, and I think that there are some, you know, other drivers that can kind of get in there too and make it interesting as well. When you look at some of the other drivers, you know, Kurt Busch, 3 top fives, 8 top tens and a pole. He's never won there, but, you know, he's pretty good at these places. Chase Elliott has become a pretty good road racer, 2 top 15s, but we've seen him in the other series do well. Denny Hamlin has won there before, and he had a good week last week. So I think that there are some other race car drivers that can challenge the big three and AJ Allmendinger. Jimmy Johnson, 4 top fives, 8 top tens, 1 pole. He's never won there. Eric Jones has a top 10 in his only finish. You heard him talk about that he's starting to figure out these road races, that he thinks that he's starting to kind of understand it more and able to get around these places. Now, it helps that the lower tier series are racing there. The Xfinity series races there. You have the K&N series that give these guys opportunities to race there. So I think that you have the feeder series running around, turning left and right. That's going to help once you get to the Cup series. So we will we'll kind of see how it all shakes out this weekend with the big three. Do we think that that a member of the big three will win? We've seen Kevin Harvick 2 weeks ago, then Kyle Busch. Does that mean it's Truex's turn? Is he the defending race winner? Is he going to go win it again for his fifth win of the season? Wouldn't be shocked, but I would kind of like to see somebody else. I know all you guys would too. I think I'd like to see somebody else jump in there. Get it this week. I'm cool with them racing each other in the playoffs. I'm cool with, you know, the best. That's fine. Let's figure out who the best truly is. But I kind of want to see somebody else get up there. I'd be cool with AJ getting the win. Try and get him on the show and talk to him about that. It, you know, we've had a nice little run of drivers coming on, and you know, they get wins. We have Truex on. He's won this year. Eric Jones, he's won this year. So Joey Logano has won this year. So it'd be cool. Get another race winner on. Let's get AJ. Or let's get Kyle Busch on and just get him to yell at me. I think that'd be good too. Great show. Again, subscribe, review, rate it on Apple iTunes. Everything's on thegamenashville.com. Everything's on SoundCloud as well. Thanks for letting me take a vacation. Thanks for tweeting at me, asking me where the show was. Hope we delivered this week. And I appreciate Eric Jones for coming on with us as well. That's going to do it. We'll be back at it again next week on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game.